Well, we have a treat tonight. The teenage girls are going to sing for you, and Brother Caleb is going to preach right after that. So just to give them instruction, I'm going to pray in just a second. When I pray, they can come up and be ready to sing. But before we do, I want to say one thing about Brother Caleb. Most of you know Brother Caleb, of course. I don't have to introduce him, but here's my chance to say something about him when I'm here like this. I enjoy working with Brother Caleb, and he's just got a great personality. Great personality, always upbeat, always fun to be around, never a negative word. I remember one time somebody said, I overheard someone had said that somebody else had said something negative about Brother Caleb. I thought, well, no way. How could you find anything negative about Brother Caleb? They had to make it up. They had to. There's no way. Me, yes, okay, I know. And Brother Jason, that just comes without saying. But Brother Caleb, there's no way. So just a great guy. Everyone enjoys him. Enjoys him being here and just his fervor for souls. His fervor for souls. Great thing. So we're glad he's here. I'm glad he's going to preach to us tonight. Let's go ahead and pray. And the girls will come sing for us. Lord, I pray that you bless us tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we have this church and this congregation and our preacher. I pray, first of all, that you bless him where he's at and keep him safe. Return him safely to us. I pray also that you bless us tonight as we gather around your word. I pray for Brother Hansen, that you'd give him your Holy Spirit's unction, that you might speak to us through his preaching. Bless the song and the message to follow. In Christ's name, amen.
And thank you, ladies, for that song. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 41. We're going to begin reading in verse 1, Genesis 41 and verse 1. Boy, I sure do appreciate all the gifts that you folks have given to my wife and I for the baby. I tell you, I've never enjoyed playing with rattles so much in all my life. And I tell you, those chewy things that help your teeth grow, I think I'm going to be a beaver someday. So We've really enjoyed it. And then all that food, my goodness, you've been so gracious in bringing wonderful, wonderful meals. We've just really enjoyed those. And I've never seen so many beautiful blankets in all my life. Oh, so many beautiful blankets. I told my son when he gets a little bit older, we're going to be making a blanket fort. And we'll make one so big we might stick our house in it, all right? So we're going to have a good old time. I really appreciate all your questions. How's the little guy doing and everything? He's doing wonderful. And I tell you, I wouldn't. There's another church that I'd want to have our first son in and a part of than this church right here. I love this church. And you folks are so gracious and so kind. We are now in Genesis 41 and verse 1. Genesis 41 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored kind and fat flesh, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the river," or the bank of the river. "And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the seven well-favored and fat kind." So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, seven ears of corn came up upon one stalk, and rank and good. And behold, seven thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them, and seven thin ears devoured seven rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then if we go down to verse 25, Joseph comes in the picture here. He comes in the picture, and he is going to interpret the dream. Verse 25 says, "And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind are seven years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine." Then if you could go down to verse 34. Verse 34, it says, "Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up this fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. That food shall be for store to the land about the 7 years of famine," or against the 7 years of famine, "which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not, neither or not through the famine." Here, of course, in this story that we just read, Pharaoh dreams a dream, and as he's dreaming the dream, he's looking at a river. As he's looking at the river, I think this dream would wake me also. As he's looking at the river, all of a sudden, seven fat cows come out of the river, or seven fat kine come up out of the river. And as he's looking at those kine or cows, he sees them go over to this meadow, and they graze in this meadow. As he is looking at the river once again, seven skinny kine come up out of the river. And they go over to the fat cows or kine, and they devour the fat cows there. And then Pharaoh wakes up, and he says, "Wow, what a dream. What a dream." And he hits the pillow again. He must have had pizza or something that night. And it goes back to sleep for a second dosage. And as he sleeps, he sees a stalk of corn grow, and on the stalk, seven fat, plump ears of corn. You know, the kind that you like on a picnic, maybe a Sunday afternoon, get home from church and you have corn on the cob, and the kind that you're eating the corn and the juice squirts across the table and smacks your brother or sister, you know, or smacks a friend across the table. And seven fat, juicy cobs of corn. And then, right beside them, seven skinny. The wind has blistered them, dried them out. And the skinny corn eats the fat husks there. And you can't tell that they've eaten anything. What took place is Joseph came along and he said, let me interpret the story for you. The seven fat kine or the seven fat cows are the seven plenteous years that you are about to go through in the land of Egypt. You are going to receive some years that you've never saw before. You're going to have so much food. You're going to have so much blessings like Egypt has never saw. And then the seven skinny and the seven lean cows are the 7 years of famine. He said, let me give you a little bit of advice. He said, take a little bit of that grain that comes in the seven plenteous years. He said, take some of that, store it in some of the cities, put it aside for the years that the famine come. The seven good years, you'll have plenty of grain. The famine, you are going to be without grain. There's going to be no crops. Set aside a little bit of that grain that you have from the plenteous years for the famine. You see, he advised Pharaoh. He tried to teach Pharaoh a lesson by retaining the fat for the season or retaining the fat for the famine. Retaining the fat for the famine. That's what I want to preach about tonight. Retaining the fat for the famine. Joseph says, why don't you put a little bit of this grain aside? Because there's going to come a time when you're going to need that grain. And then he tried to teach Pharaoh the same lesson that Joshua tried to teach the children of Israel right after they came up out of the Jordan River. He said, fellas, what I want you to do now, I want you to go back into the river. I want you to grab 12 large stones. Grab those stones, bring them up on the shore, and I want you to place those 12 large stones in a pile. So that when tough times come by, you can look at that pile of stones and say, God did it then, and God can do it now. God helped us in that trial. God can help us in this trial. What he did, he retained the fat for the famine. He told them, you better stick some of that fat aside for the famine, for the drought time. Let your past blessings sustain your future trials. Let your past blessings sustain your future trials. We've all seen it where somebody gets saved. Man, it's exciting. Somebody gets saved. Somebody asks Jesus Christ to come to their heart. They're so fired up, they can hardly sleep that night. And you go by their house and you visit them and they say, what's next? And you say, well, next is getting in the baptistry and getting baptized. All right, let's do it this Sunday. Come on, let's get baptized this Sunday. So they get baptized. And then they start growing in the Lord. And man, there's nothing more exciting than them hearing their sermons on principles that they've never, ever heard before. They say, man, this is great. I can't believe it. I love this. And it seems like they're in a season of plenty. And then all of a sudden, trials come. A temptation comes or a difficulty comes. And the drought begins. And they say, whoa, I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't expecting this. What happened? They didn't retain the fat for the famine. Retain the fat for the famine. Hold back, keep in mind the blessings that God has done for you in the plenteous season, so when you get in the rough times of your spiritual life, you can look back and say, hey, God did it back there, God can do it up here again. God can do it again. Israel went across the Jordan River. As they went across the Jordan River, they met up with the first city, Jericho. Huge walls. So, okay, God, how are we going to do this? God says, walk around the walls, boys. Keep on walking, keep on walking. They walk, and they walk, and they walk, and the walls are come tumbling down. You know how that is. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho. And I won't sing the rest to you. Don't want to do a second special here. But the walls came tumbling down. Amen. So, wow, man, this is awesome. We're going to conquer all of Canaan. God is the greatest God in all the world. And then they rush off to the next city. Ai, come on, boys, let's get them. They get to Ai. All of a sudden, defeat happens. Whoa! This isn't supposed to happen. We're supposed to have victory after victory after victory. They came face to face with a trial, or face to face with a drought there, or face to face with a famine. And they had to remember, hey, God was able to do Jericho. He can do Ai as well. I remember when I was out visiting one of my bus kids. As we pulled up to this house, my wife and I were going together to this visit. As we pulled up to the house, the fellow was getting in his car. And as we pulled up, we told him that we wanted to talk to him. And we started a conversation and asked him, if you were to die, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? He said, no. Let him through the plan of salvation. He got saved. He told me 6 months before we met him, his wife committed suicide. He's going through a rough time. And so he started coming to church. Of course, he got saved that Saturday. He came to church, got baptized the next day. Man, he was so excited about that. We gave him a Bible. He started reading his Bible. He started growing in the Lord. And then all of a sudden, work started giving him some difficulty. He got laid off and his rent started getting back and backed up, and problems and difficulties came, and his kids started getting sick, and doctor bills start coming. And I started visiting his house, and the joy all of a sudden left his face. He was drowning in the drought, or he was not drowning in the drought. Amen. Don't drown in a drought. But he was dying of spiritual starvation in the drought. What did he do? He didn't let his past blessings sustain his future trials. If we're going to let our past blessings sustain our future trials, we got to remember that both seasons come to every Christian. Both seasons come to every Christian. You've been there, man. It seems like everything's going good. And Joseph told Pharaoh, in verse 29, behold, there cometh 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. There's going to come a period of 7 years with great plenty. He said, take advantage of that time. Take advantage of it. And I can just see the farmers out there during that 7 years of plenty. They put one seed in, and it seems like 5 or 6 seeds were put in the ground, and they have abundance of grain coming out of their fields. And it just seems like everything is abundant, and everything is plenteous, and everything's wonderful. We've all been there. We've all been there. It seems like Psalm 68:19 is your life verse. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Man, that's my verse. Everything's just going great. I can't believe it. I love this season of blessings. Huh? You've been there before? You get on your knees and you pray. By the time you get off your knees, the prayer is answered. Huh? You've been there. Maybe you read the Bible. Every verse you read, it seems like, man, that was written right to me. God is my refuge. God is my God. God loves me. It seems like every verse that you read is to you. You've been there before. It seems like every soul you witness to, man, they just fall on the ground weeping and wailing and asking God to save me, man. You've been there before? All right. Man, it just seems like a great, great season. It's called the season of blessing. The season of blessing. Man, I remember a couple weeks ago, got a phone call on a Saturday, or on a Friday afternoon, and it was Brother Tom. Brother Tom Fitzgerald. We talked about something, and then he said, hey, would you like to hear a blessing? Man, I love hearing blessings. He told me a great big blessing that happened in his life. Man, we just rejoiced about that. That God pours out blessings. And there are seasons of blessings. But may I also say, there are seasons of trials. There are seasons of trials. It seems like when you open up the book, nothing speaks to you. And when you're sitting in church, it seems like God is so far away. And when you pray, it seems like your prayers are bouncing off a ceiling of steel. You've been there before. We've all been there. Why? Because both seasons come to every believer. Both seasons, the seasons of blessings and the seasons of trials, will come to every Christian. We just have to go through it and remember, hey, I had some blessings here, and then those blessings will sustain me in the times of trials. Both seasons will come to you. You think of Job in chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? You think every season is going to be a blessing season? He says, you're crazy, wife. Every season is not going to be a season of blessing. We're going to have some trials. We're going to have some trials. Seven, you say, what was his blessing season? Seven sons, three daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 1,000 oxen, and 500 donkeys. You say, that sounds like a curse more than a blessing. That's what I thought. But anyways, that was his blessing. Man, I tell you, he just was blessed by God. And then his season of trial came. And he said, what? Can I expect only blessings from the hand of God? I got to take this with thanksgiving, and I have to rejoice in the season of trial just like I did in the season of blessing. You have to remember that every believer will go through both seasons. But let me remind you, God sends both seasons. God sends both seasons. Remember the season? Everything's going good. God sent that season to you. Remember the season when you have difficulties and trials and heartaches and rough times in your life? God sends that. And sometimes trying us. God sends both seasons. The Bible says in verse 25, God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The same God that gave Isaac to Abraham is the same God that tapped Abraham on the shoulder and said, hey, Isaac, hey, I want you to go up to the mount. I want you to offer him on the altar. You mean the same son that you gave me? Yeah, the same son I gave you. I want you to take him up there and sacrifice him. The same God that brought Elijah to the brook Cherith and the ravens fed him. And I'm sure he probably named those ravens pets, amen. And I like this raven. This raven brings me good food. And this raven's a little bit skimpy, but it'll do this day. But the same God that brought Elijah to the brook Cherith is the same God that let the brook Cherith dry up. Hey, God, you led me here. What are you doing? Hey, God, you gave me all these blessings. I got saved. I got baptized. I'm going soul winning. I'm doing all these things for you. What are you doing? Letting a trial come to my life. God says you have to realize one thing. I give both seasons. I give both seasons. God is the same God that let David be victorious over Goliath and let the Amalekites come to Ziklag and take away his children and his wife. Same God. Same God that had Paul saved on the road to Damascus is the same God that let him be thrown in jail at Philippi. Same God. God sends both seasons to every Christian's life. You mean that those Christians, you mean Christians that have been saved for 20 years do go through trials? Yeah. I haven't made it there yet, but I'm sure they go through trials. They sure do. You mean people that just get saved, they go through trials as well? Yeah. Everybody goes through trials. Everybody goes through times of blessings. But you got to hold on. Retain the fat for the famine. And you also must realize the famine is a time of great danger. The famine is a time of great danger. Verse 31 says, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason that the famine following. For it shall be very grievous. He says it's going to be above any other famine that's taken place. And it says it took place in the whole earth. The whole earth had a drought for 7 years. He said nothing like this has ever happened in the land of Egypt. It's going to be very grievous. Very grievous. Do you know that when trials start coming and troubles start coming, that the devil puts it in high motion? Man, he puts it in fifth gear and he starts attacking and attacking and attacking the Christian that is receive the blessings of God. The disciples, man, they got to be with Jesus Christ every day and they got to walk with Him and see miracles done by Him. And then Jesus said, you better watch out. The greatest trial that you've ever gone through is about ready to go. It's about ready to happen to you when I go to Calvary. So He said to them, watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. He says, watch and pray. Why did Jesus say that? Because He knew. He knew that at the time of trials, the devil is the accuser. He knew that the devil would accuse them. He knew that in the times of our trials, the devil comes and he accuses us to one another. He accuses us to ourselves. And you say you're a Christian, look what you did. He accuses us to ourselves, and then He accuses God to us. In Revelation 12 and verse 10 it says, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He is the accuser. And Jesus told those disciples, you better watch and pray, because when you go into trial, when you go into a time of famine, when you go into a time of drought, in your spiritual life, you better look out. The devil is right there. He's in fifth gear and he's working hard on you. You better watch out. You better watch out. The devil is active. I remember growing up. I was about 13 or 14 years old. We were working on a bus route in the morning, and then we would get off that bus route. Then we had something called the afternoon program at our church. And many of you know what I'm talking about, the afternoon program. It actually started out with the Cambodian ministry. We picked up 100, 120 Cambodians, and then that was pretty much the outreach to that group of people. And, man, what a great time. But anyways, we had a bus route in the morning. We would get to church around 7:30, get on our bus, go pick up kids, and then we'd hop on a bus in the afternoon, stay all afternoon, and help out there. But I remember coming home from church one Sunday evening, and I remember sitting down by the wood stove by my mom, and we had this bench that we could pull up to the wood stove. And I remember sitting there, and I remember looking at my mom and said, Mom, I just don't feel like being a Christian anymore. I hadn't done anything wrong. I hadn't missed church at all. But I said, Mom, I just don't feel like being a Christian anymore. And my mom said, I said it at a tone of voice where it was real quiet, and nobody could really hear me except my mom. And my mom said, well, let's ask Dad about this. Dad, why don't you come on? I said, Mom, that's the last thing I wanted, is Dad to hear about this. Man. And he came over to the bench, sat down, and he said, Caleb, you know what? Sometimes I don't feel like getting up in the morning and praying for you either. And sometimes, Caleb, you know what? I don't feel like bringing you to church. He said, sometimes, Caleb, I don't feel like being a good dad to you either. But you know what you have to do? You just have to do it whether you feel like it or not. So you just keep on being a Christian, Caleb. That's what my dad told me. And we have to be careful in the times of trials and in the time when it just doesn't feel good to be spiritual anymore. That's when the devil starts to work. That's when the devil starts putting plant seeds of a doubt in your mind. That's when the devil starts putting it in high gear and starts working on your Christianity. The devil, we have to remember that it was when Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That's when the old tempter came to Jesus. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. At a time of physical weakness. It was Esau's life. It was around the pot of pottage there, or pot of beans, of soup, that Esau said, what good is my birthright? I'm so weak. It was at that moment Jacob came in and tempted him to take away his birthright. It was at a time of weakness. You better be careful when a time of drought comes, when a time of hardness or hardship comes in your spiritual life. That's the time when the devil attacks double hard. That's the time when the plenty is often forgotten in the famine. That's when the time, that's the time when you forget about all those answers to prayer. That's the time when you forget about how precious the Word of God was to you. That's the time when you forget about leading that person to the Lord, and you just go down and you get down with depression about your Christian life. Hey, don't get down. Remember the plenty. The plenty was good enough for the time of blessings, and it'll be good enough for the time of famine. Retain the fat for the famine. Retain the fat for the famine. In verse, the Bible says, "And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten." And all the plenty shall be forgotten. Joseph said, the 7 years of drought are going to be so great at the present time, it won't seem like you had any 7 years of plenty. You'll completely forget about it. Christian, when the trials come and when the hard times come, sometimes it seems like there's been no blessings. Sometimes it seems like there's been no answers to prayer and no goodness and benefits from God. But you just sit down and you just think what God has done for you. My mom, of course, was here last week. And Wednesday night after church service, we were in the living room. And she started reminiscing. Man, I love hearing about the testimony of my mom and dad and when they first got saved and how they grew in the Lord. And she told me the story about my mom and dad. They had the kids in school, and they would have to go. They shuttled a bunch of kids to school in their car. And it came one afternoon, my dad had to go and pick up the kids. But there wasn't gas in the car, and there wasn't money in the billfold. And he said, "Lord, you have to meet our need for gas, or else our kids are going to stay at school." You know, that after school watch, yeah, that would be a real long one. You'll have to watch them overnight, Lord, or something. But he said, "Lord, if you don't provide some money, God, then we aren't able to go pick up our kids in the neighbor or the friend's kids. Lord, you've got to provide." And my dad said he grabbed a gas can, and he said, "I'm just going to walk down to the gas station, and I hope the Lord fills the gas can up by the time I get back." Grabbed the gas can and went down to the gas station. Probably chatted or walked around the gas pumps or something. I don't know what he did down there. But he was on his way back. As he was on his way back, he was two houses from our house. And the neighbor man said, "Hey, you did some plumbing work for me a few months ago. I never paid you. Here, let me pay you." My dad said, no, that's okay. He said, "No, let me go and get some money for you." And he went into the house and he brought back $10. Man, you talk about a blessing. The Lord provided then, and the Lord will provide any other time that a trouble comes. She told me another story when we had enough gas to get to church, but not enough gas to get back home. And my dad said, "Well, we're at least going to church. The Lord will have to provide a way to get back." So we all piled up in the van, and we went on our way to church. And as we were at church, someone came by our van, and the van was unlocked. And someone came by and stuck some money in the steering wheel. My dad got in the van, hopped in there and grabbed the steering wheel, and lo and behold, there's money on the steering wheel. Hey, God will provide. Hey, there's a time. There was a time of famine there, but God blessed. And it's so good to reminisce about the blessings of God. It is so good for us to do that. Are you going through a tough time right now? Are you going through a drought? Are you going through a struggle in your life? Just remember the first time that you asked God to do something for you and He answered the prayer. Remember that. Remember that. Joseph said, "Hey, the drought is going to be so great, you're going to forget the plenty. You're going to forget the plenty." And that's what happens sometimes. We forget the plenty. The fat is always sufficient. The fat is always sufficient. The blessings of God are always sufficient for us. In verse 36 it says, "And that food shall be for storage to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine." He said, yes, there's going to be no rain. Yes, the ground is going to be cotton dry. He said, yes, there's going to be no crops coming out of those fields. Yes, it's going to be a hard time. But remember, the grain that you put in the storage is going to be enough to satisfy you through the famine. And let me tell you, if you put some grain aside, if you put some blessings aside, those blessings will provide you strength through the trials. Those blessings will provide you strength. Are you going through a hard time? Are you going through a struggle? Is your Christian life, it seems like it's come to a halt? Well, just stop and think about the time you got saved. Just think about the first time you had to answer to prayer. Just think about the time when you got out of the baptistry, how excited you were. Man, let the past blessings sustain your future trials. Let your past blessings sustain your future trials. And Joseph said, there will be plenty in those barns. And let me tell you this. There's plenty in the barns of God. There's plenty in the barns of God. He says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God's riches supplied the plenty. God's riches can sustain the famine. God's riches supplied the plenty. God's riches can sustain the famine. God can bless. God can meet each one of your needs if you just let Him. Are you going through a hard time? Going through a difficult time? Don't take the plenty for granted. Say, well, this is just what happens every day. We're just everything is blessed every day in the Christian life. No, don't take the plenty for granted. And then don't faint in the famine. Let your past blessings sustain your trials. Let your past blessings sustain your trials. Retain the fat for the famine. Retain the fat for the famine. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. Whether you're in the blessing time right now or in the season of plenteous, or whether you're in the trials, you're going to need the blessings when the famine comes. Hold on. The psalmist talked about being in utter despair. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sorrow ran in the night, and I ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. He says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Oh, you just sit down and you just think about all the blessings God's done for you. All of a sudden, your heart will be stirred. All of a sudden, the flame will be kindled. And you'll be ready to go through that trial that you're going through, if you're going through a trial. Retaining the fat for the famine. Retaining the fat for the famine. Let's bow our heads and pray. Are you going through a rough time? Are you going through a time of drought in your spiritual life? Brother Caleb, I remember it was going well and everything was going so smoothly for me. Man, it just seems like I've hit some bumps in my spiritual life. Caleb, I need to remember the blessings of God. I need to remember the blessings of God. Or maybe you're going through a time of blessing right now. You don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted, because the famine is coming. Both of them come to every Christian's life. Both of them do. Maybe you say, Brother Caleb, I'm not even saved. I don't even know if I were to die today, I'll go to heaven. Say, Brother Caleb, I want to have that settled. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I do not know 100% sure that I'll go to heaven if I were to die right now. Would you raise your hand? Maybe you say, Brother Caleb, I've been saved, but I haven't been baptized. I need to be baptized. Is there anyone here like that this evening? I've been saved, but I have not been baptized. All right. Maybe you're going through a tough time in your life. You need to remember the blessings of God. You need to remember the blessings of God. You say, Brother Caleb, pray for me. I'm going through a tough time, maybe in my spiritual life, or Brother Caleb, I just need to remember the blessings of God. Would you pray for me, Brother Caleb? Would you raise your hand? I see those hands. I see those hands. We'll put them down. Maybe say, Brother Caleb, I'm going through a time of blessing. Man, it seems like every prayer I make, it reaches the throne of God and something is done. Brother Caleb, pray that I don't take that for granted. Pray that I don't take that for granted. Is there someone like that tonight? All right. I see those hands. The instruments are going to play in a few minutes after we pray. Then if God's spoken to your heart, if you just come down and use the altar and do business with God, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the blessings, the time of plenty. And God, then I thank you for the time of famine that comes to each life. Lord, both of them are a learning experience. God, I pray that you would help us tonight to retain the fat for the famine. And God, I pray that you would help us to remember all the blessings that you've given us in the past. Lord, if there's someone here that has not trusted you as a Savior, I pray that they would come and that they would do that this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand.